setting the pace on the pursuit of happiness. This is The Ken Coleman Show, where you discover what you were born to do and how to make it happen. Now, helping you get unstuck and on the path to your dream job, America's career coach, Ken Coleman.
All right, here we go. Coming to you live from Ramsey Solutions Studios in Nashville. You've joined a conversation about who you are, what you were created to do, where you want to do it, and how to get there. It's all about your purpose. And I can tell you that every human being on the planet has a purpose. It is to be who you were created to be relationally and professionally. That's right. You were created to work. You don't work to live, to get a paycheck, to be able to try to pay for the basics and then maybe have a little left over. And I think you inherently know that if you've ever allowed yourself to wonder, why am I here? What should I do with my life? You were created to contribute relationally, professionally. And we're going to focus on the professional contribution. I call it the sweet spot, where you use your talent, what you do best, to perform your passion, work you love, to produce results that matter to you. Mission. Talent, passion, mission. When they intersect, that's your contribution zone. I call it the sweet spot. And the reason I love the sweet spot analogy is because when we have ever watched someone or ourselves have experienced striking a ball with an instrument in a sport on the sweet spot of the instrument, it feels effortless and you get maximum performance. And that is what we were designed to do. You were designed to contribute. So you are needed. You must do it. You were created to fill a unique role. You are needed. You must do it. There's intentionality and purpose there. There is value in you, and there is responsibility for you. 844-747-2577 is the phone number, 844-747-2577. Before we get to the phones, I want to just teach some new content. We had a listener email us and say, Ken, I'd love to hear some content on your show about creating a positive work culture when you are 100% remote. So the company is 100% remote. People are separated. How do you create a positive culture? I love the question. So I put some thoughts down. And it's brand new content. I'm going to roll through it. There are six things that you can do. And if you're a leader and you're listening here and you want to grow a positive, healthy culture in the workplace or in a remote environment, all six of these work. But these are specifically how you can actually create intentional culture when you've got remote workforce. Number one, you must have good communication. I define good communication by two factors. Number one, it's got to be clear. And number two, it's got to be consistent. Even more so in remote. People are disconnected physically, and so they can easily become disconnected mentally and emotionally. And one of the ways to fight this is good communication. It needs to be very clear. Here's what's going on, why it's happening, and where it's going to take us. And then it must be consistent. Number two, action. You've got to be intentional to create recognition for remote workers. Recognition, again, they're disconnected. Do you see me? I mean, this is what every little boy and a little girl asks. Do you see me? Do you notice me? Do I matter? So you've got to recognize people. You're doing a great job. Do it in front of everybody on the Zoom call. Listen, folks, every time I share this, it shocks somebody. There's all kinds of HR data out there that says that men and women would rather receive public recognition or some type of reward from a form of being recognized than they would a raise. Because money doesn't touch the heart. Recognition touches the heart. Number three, create interaction. Oh my gosh, this is important. We got a remote workforce. And I don't mean interaction, just the day-to-day interaction. I mean, have some fun. You got a team of 8, 10, 20 people. You got 200. Break them up into groups. Get a big group Zoom and play a board game or a house party game or do some trivia or something that is just fun that creates interaction. That will lead to the fourth thing you've got to promote, collaboration. People will collaborate better if they interact well. Just because they're on the same team doesn't mean they're going to collaborate well. This comes down to, do I like you? And if I like you, I trust you, which means I will collaborate with you. Number five, be intentional on education. Educate them. Help them sign up for online webinars. Pay for it. An online course. Create a book club. Send them a book. Invest in them so they feel like I am not just communicated to, I'm recognized, I've got interaction, I'm able to collaborate, but I'm getting better even though I'm remote. And then finally, separation. This is about boundaries. The data has shown us that since March of last year, where we saw so many millions of people go home and work remotely, that their work hours actually increased. And the number one reason is because their commute decreased. Think about it. If you're 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 45 minutes, 60 minutes in the car going to work, people would listen to podcasts, listen to the radio, whatever, but they weren't working in the car. Now you get up and you walk from your bedroom to the kitchen, get coffee, to the office. People were working on average 45 to 60 minutes more per day, with many working a couple of hours more because there's no commute. Can't pull yourself away from the computer. It needs to be separation. And so if you've got 100% remote workforce, I'm going to tell you something, leaders. You're going to have to bake in some real boundaries. Maybe get really creative and go, look, we're turning email off after 7 o'clock. I don't know. That freaked out a lot of leaders right now. What? What? Listen, these people need to be present at home anyway. Ask anybody at Ramsey Solutions that works with me if they get emails from me at night on the weekend. What's the answer, Joe?
I'm still formulating.
Yeah, whatever. It's not happening.
No.
Why? Because I'm with my family. And I start emailing you at 7 o'clock, you start thinking that you can email me at 7 o'clock. Now, you can email me at 7 o'clock, but I'm not responding at 7 o'clock at night.
I was going to say, you've never responded.
I've never responded. I'm not going to respond on the weekend either. Why? Because I'm not at work. So we better create some boundaries in this remote setting because people are at work. If they're working from home, they're at work. I'm not, right? So I don't want a studio in my house. So, kid, you ever going to do a studio in your house? Nope. Why? I don't want to work when I'm at home. I want to be home. I'll tell you the work I do like doing, Joe. And I am heading out this weekend. I'm very excited. I got several little things I want to do. I like to work in the yard. It's very relaxing for me.
Very therapeutic.
It is. It is. You know what happens? And by the way, we all need some type of busy work like this. Because I'm going to tell you what will happen this weekend. This is the busiest, biggest year of my professional career. We're working on an assessment right now to help you find your sweet spot. We just finished my next books coming out in November from Ramsey Solutions. We're doing all kinds of stuff. Working on career coaches. We're working on all kinds of stuff. I got ideas going like this all the time. But when I'm at work, I can only focus on so much. When I'm out there trimming bushes, replanting stuff, transplanting, my ideas are going crazy. I'm just doing busy work that I enjoy. Find some separation if you work at home. It's important. This is The Ken Coleman Show. Are you feeling stuck and disengaged in your current job? If you're searching for a new job for any reason, the Get Hired live stream event on April the 27th is for you. At this event, you're going to learn how to get clear on what you do best, get qualified for the job you want, and get connected to job opportunities. No matter what your situation is, there is hope. Join me on Tuesday, April the 27th to take control of your career and start working toward what you were born to do. Text the word HIRED to 33789 to learn more. The Ken Coleman Show continues from Nashville and our Ramsey Solutions Studios. So excited to have you with us as we help men and women get clear so they can get qualified. We help them get connected so they can get started. We help them get promoted so they can get the dream job to be able to give themselves away. Those are the seven stages. Think of them as the climb up the mountain to your professional pinnacle that is all about your purpose. We believe you were created to work, in other words, created to contribute. So if you're just kind of in a job or a job you can't stand, there's hope. If you're in a good job on the path that you want to get promoted faster, further, you're in the right spot. 844-747-2577. Quick mention here, a reminder that our Get Hired event, which is really for anybody that just wants to get a different, better job, whether you're starting, switching, upgrading, it is the behind-the-scenes secrets, the secret sauce, if you will, to actually beat the competition and get hired. The event is a live stream event with a live audience. We have about 200 people here at Ramsey Solutions World Headquarters. If you live near the Nashville area, even day drive, and you want to come, it's going to be a lot of fun, some special goodies and experiences for those who are live. The tickets start at just $20. There's a whole list of opportunities of engagement with different price points, but just getting in and watching it wherever you are on your device, $20. And you can go to kencoleman.com and click on the store to get tickets. You can also go to ramseysolutions.com in the events page and get your tickets. April the 27th, 8 Eastern, 7 Central. April the 27th, 8 Eastern, 7 Central. It's the Get Hired event. This is a good gift for somebody who just needs to catch a break. 844-747-2577. Amanda is up next in Houston, Texas. Amanda, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet. What's up?
Okay, so the reason I'm calling is I am a physician, and I've worked many years to kind of get to this point, and I enjoy, you know, certain aspects of my job, but at the same time, it's like very overwhelming, and I'm like burned out, and I, you know, determined I'm going to find a different professional altogether that doesn't involve clinical medicine. But the problem is, like, this is like all I wanted to do my whole life, and I don't have any other, never had a plan B, and I don't have any other passions or any other clear ideas of what I'd want to do besides clinical medicine.
Okay, let's break this down before we start brainstorming new ideas. You said that you enjoy aspects of the job. What are those aspects?
I mean, I enjoy the complexity, like the medical complexity. I enjoy some portions of the patient care, not all the aspects, but parts of it.
Tell me those parts. Tell me the parts you enjoy.
The patient care. I mean, I enjoy, you know, whenever they're good, like relationships with patients and, you know, just being able to provide treatment and, you know, follow them long term. And I enjoy actually more complex diseases. So, you know, the people who have, you know, harder to manage kind of conditions. So those are the things I enjoy.
But, what are the parts of patient care that you don't enjoy?
I mean, I think everything that surrounds practicing medicine in the U.S., which are not things that are going to be, I don't think are going to change in the near future or even in my lifetime, frankly. And those include things like, you know, always having to worry about insurance and prior authorizations and like the liability and, you know, just, you know, the liability is so high and that gives me a lot of anxiety. And,
I got you.
You know, having to see more people in less amounts of times, right. Sometimes patients that are demanding. So like all those aspects are not things that are going to change and not things I can.
Yeah, I get
I
it.
Mean, I can't.
But
yeah.
You do enjoy the relationship and the treatment, and the more complex, the better.
Yeah.
The complexity, you've mentioned that a couple of times. That to me is a really big that's a big sign. You're really into the research, the problem solving, testing side of it. The more complex, the more juice you get.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the burnout is coming from the stress, to see X amount of patients, worried about liability, all that stuff.
Yes.
Yeah. See, I don't think this releases you from, I mean, just personally, I don't think this releases you from this work. I think what we're saying here is that we either figure out how to change some of these conditions, which is you're right. The healthcare system is not going to change. So you would have to change the dynamics and how you do it. I know there are doctors that are seeing patients and they started their own practice. And basically what they've done is it's going old school and it's going, there's no insurance. It's all cash. So I put out, this is what this costs, this is what this costs, and they pay cash and they kind of create their own. It's not just anybody who finds you. You end up creating, maybe you only serve about 200 people or 200 families or whatever. I'm not trying to drive you that direction, but I'm saying that's possible. It really, really is possible. Now, because you like complex things, what type of medicine are you in? Are you general practitioner or are you specialized?
I'm in a subspecialty of internal medicine.
Internal medicine. Yeah, so that's a little bit different. Yeah. That's a little bit different. So I don't know with that specialty if you can do that. I had some friends do that. I actually had a friend in Atlanta who struck out on his own. We talked about it in my driveway countless nights. We just go, well, why don't you do this? I'd sign up. You know, I know what I'm paying. It's out of pocket anyway. You know what I mean? It's like this. So we don't have all these restrictions. But you love solving complex medical problems. So the question is, do you find more joy in the analyzing and the testing and the recommending than you do working directly with patients?
I mean, I think it's probably a combination, but I think probably the first one.
Like I think so too. I wonder if you don't start to move towards research where you're going to deal with patients, but I wonder if you move more into the diagnostic and the research and really trying to solve complex stuff in internal medicine, and that removes you from the day-to-day healthcare limitations. I just wonder. I don't know. You know your field better than me, but I just haven't heard anything that says, yeah, you should go be a real estate agent. You know, I just haven't heard that. Because you've always wanted to solve complex medical problems, or at least as long as you can remember. Is that fair?
Yeah.
So I'm not sure you'd be happy anywhere else. I think you've got to go, how do I overcome the part that's draining me? And it's the workload of patients, the extreme workload is what I heard. And then I heard the liability stress and all the paperwork garbage that comes with running. Do you run your own practice?
No.
Okay. So it could be worse, right? So I'm not trying to talk you out of this. I just haven't heard anything that says, yeah, you're supposed to do something completely different. I think for you, the theme is, how do I help solve complex medical problems? I think if you find all the ways you could do that, I think you might find some options. How are you taking this? Still feel like you want to find something completely different?
I mean, it doesn't have to be completely different. I just,
You see what I'm saying? You've not told me that you're burned out from the work you love. You're burned out from some circumstances and some conditions. Do you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You haven't lost the juice for the work. You love the work. It's in your sweet spot. You're talented at it. You love the work itself. And you're deeply, deeply committed to the results it creates in people. So I think what you have to do is get your eyes off of the conditions for a moment so that you can look in your heart and go, wait a second, I do love this. I don't want to switch careers per se. I need to change my location and change the way that I practice this work and do this work. I think that's the assignment. But I'm going to say this, do that exercise and dig a little bit. And then if you're still not sure, call me back. We'll get you back on the phone and we'll talk again. One of the big questions we get here on the Ken Coleman Show is, should I quit my job? Well, I usually ask a few questions. But we've actually got a great quiz for you that's free. It's a free resource at kencoleman.com. It's called Should I Quit My Job Quiz. And if you go get that, it's in our resources page at kencoleman.com. It takes about 3 minutes, and it's going to spit out an answer for you. You got one of four answers that you're going to get. And so there you go. Go get that, kencoleman.com. Should I quit my job? By the way, before we get back to the phones, Tommy Fleetwood just hit a ball in the water at 15. So I was during the commercial break, I was watching the Masters, and I told Madison, I hope that I'm not like in the middle of a call and then I, you know, go nuts. Of course, I'm not going to do that. But I had to drop that in there for you. That happened right as we were coming back from break. So I wanted to, but now she's going, is he, what? She's going to have my computer shut down. What she's going to do. No, it's fine. I'm totally paying attention. But as I was coming back from the break, one ball in the drink there. So we were talking about this. You know, actually, I'm going to have some fun with this. So we were talking during the break about sports fans and should they get some additional days off. This is something that we're going to have some fun with this. I'm not going to do it today, but I'm going to throw it out there. If you think, if you're listening right now, email us, ask@kencoleman.com. Should sports fans get certain days off for certain events? Golfers, race fans, whatever. I don't care. Send us your submissions. We'll see what we get. And then maybe we'll have a lively discussion on it. Maybe I'll go on the record about the whole thing. We'll see. All right, let's get to the phones. 844-747-2577. Mike is in Tampa, Florida. Mike, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Glad to talk to you.
I'm thrilled to talk to you. What's up?
Well, so just to answer your question real quick about the sports fans, I think good leaders just need to take care of their people by making sure they get that day off.
See,
Mike, Monday morning after the Super Bowl.
Yes, but, good one. That's a good one. You give me another one.
The Masters. I'm a big golf fan, so I absolutely. I'm in the military. We'll get to the background, but. When I was in command, all the big sporting events, I made sure that the guys had some time the next day to recover.
I think I shouldn't even be doing the show today, Mike, but you're more important than the master, so I had to do it. But I agree with you. Good. That's one vote right there, Madison. Mike is in.
Is.
He has logged in his vote. Well, Mike, how can I help you?
So I'm hoping you can help me with a decision to shift the direction of my career in a pretty major way. And so I'm in the military. I've been in almost 20 years now, and I love the military.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you. Continuing to serve, not thinking about leaving anytime soon.
Uh-huh.
I've been in a combat leadership role for most of my career. Been an officer for the last 10, 11 years. And I've got an opportunity to kind of shift what I've been doing within the military. And the Army sent me to get my MBA, which I've been working on for the last year and a half. I'm almost done. I'll graduate this year before I continue on to my next assignment.
Okay.
And what I've learned is there are some interests that I've always had, and I've really been able to explore those during my studies over the last year and a half. Marketing, data analytics, things like that. Very, very different than what I've been doing for most of my career. But my question is, how do I get over concerning myself with things I might lose about what I love doing if I shift into a new direction to pursue other things that are passions of mine?
That's a really good question. Let's be specific. What are you worried about losing if you move into marketing and data analytics?
Well, so I just found out in the last month that the Army started less than 2 years ago, a new called functional area branch of the military that deals with Army marketing. I think it's been an issue for the Army specifically for a while. And so that culture, I think it's going to be a little different than what I'm used to with working, you know, directly with soldiers, large organizations that are storied, have history, you know, it'll be specialized. And while I really enjoy the analytics, the solving puzzles, and I like branding, psychology, wondering why people make decisions, I like all of that a lot. But I also just really love, you know, I've been a commander. If I stay on this current track, I'll be a commander again. Decision-making, inspiring, you know, organizations, leading, those are the things that I think won't be a huge part if I make this shift.
Well, so here's my question for you. This is a shift to stay in the Army, but you would then work in this mm-hmm. marketing data analytics role. And then would you also right. want to stay in that when you move out, when you retire? You want to go into the private sector eventually in that area as well? Or
yeah, I think so. Yes. You know, I think over the last 4 or 5 years, as I've thought more about what I'll do when I transition out of the military, consulting of some sort, you know, that's always been kind of what's been on the back of my mind as to what I might do.
What are the ties between? So here's what I'm hearing. So I want to set you free. What I heard was is you're worried about losing the opportunity to lead. Is that fair? Did I get that just about right?
That is fair. That's the thing I love most about what I've
okay.
been doing.
Okay, so let me ask you a question.
Leading.
If you're doing marketing and analytics in the Army, presumably there is also a organizational chart over there as well. There's a chain of command.
There is. I'm staring at it.
Okay. So
there is. There's some leadership opportunities.
So that's my point.
In that realm as well.
That's all I was going to ask. I was going to say, is it possible that you could lead in that particular area? And I know what the answer is, but I wanted you to answer it. You already did. So
it is.
This is a false.
You know, I really haven't looked at it. Well, quite like that.
Good, because here's the deal. That's a false narrative. So you're wrestling with a false narrative, and that's what I want to expose, and then let's get rid of that narrative. The narrative is, if I go over here in this area that I'm really interested in, I'm going to lose a part of my soul, part of my passion, and it's just simply not true. Now, will you have to maybe forego a leadership role initially to move over there? Maybe, but knowing you, and what you've already shared with us, that's only a temporary deal anyway. And then when you move to the private sector, there's all kinds of leadership opportunities for you with this data analytics and marketing background. So you don't have to choose, is my point. Move forward, trust your heart, and you're going to have opportunities to lead. You're just going to lead in a different capacity. And the very thing that made you effective in battle, if I heard you say combat leadership, I think I heard you say that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me tell you something. That's going to help you so much. I mean, this leading in a corporate environment, leading a marketing team or a data analytics team is going to seem like cakework for a guy who's had to lead men and women into battle. So you don't have to choose between the two. If you want to go that direction, continue to verify that that's what you want to do. I think you know. I think this was the last piece. And I'm telling you to step into it and lead in that area. And I think you're going to be so fulfilled and so rewarded. Good for you. The future is very bright. If you want to lead, lead. But if you want to change where you lead, you're still leading. And so you don't have to choose. I love that. Thank you again for your service. You are a great American. 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577. One of the things we hear a lot from our amazing women and men that serve our country in the military, and in this case, Mike didn't mention this, but there was a hint of this, that, wait a second, I've been leading in this capacity, and if I move over here, I won't ever be able to lead again. Or, I've been doing this in the military, and if I go to the private sector, I don't have any private sector experience. Who cares? You've been leading, and you can continue to do so with a badge of honor. This is the Ken Coleman Show. The Ken Coleman Show continues from our Ramsey Solutions studios in Nashville. So excited that you have joined us to talk about you and what you were created to do. And if you don't think you know what it is, let me give you the high-level answer. You were created to work. In other words, you were created to contribute. You are needed and you must do it. Somebody out there needs you to be the best version of you. And so we are helping you move from paycheck to purpose. 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577. Let's go to New York City, New York, the Big Apple. Trevor joins us on the line there. Trevor, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken. Thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
You bet. What's up, Trevor?
So I've been going through this interview process with a new company for the last few weeks now. And during the first interview with the HR manager, during the end of it, we started to talk about the salary range and where it would be. And then we kind of landed on a specific number at that time. And then in the second round, went through that with the rest of the team. I thought it went really, really well. And then I was supposed to go into a third round, but the HR contact actually messaged me back and said the range is lowered now because of the second round interview. They felt that there was something that it wasn't as high, or it was higher than it should have been given my experience. And wanted to kind of get your input on that because they're looking to for an answer from me on if I'm interested in proceeding or not, given that lower salary range.
Okay. How much lower is it?
About 10%.
Okay. And is it still within the range that had they offered that amount at the beginning, you would have been interested?
It's actually, so my range was like roughly 5% below what they originally offered. So it's like right in the middle.
Well, then do you want the job or not? Forget how it feels, because it feels yucky. There's just no way around that. Am I right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's definitely a very weird situation. I haven't really heard about it before. But overall, the company, in terms of like what they do, I think the company is great. Like, they do exactly what I want, and I could really keep myself improving with them. But it, like you said, it just kind of feels bizarre and kind of like a red flag right away.
Yeah, they offer, but they've offered it to you, correct?
No, so that's the other thing, is it's like a very informal offer. And that's another weird thing, is because they're asking if I'm interested in proceeding with this informal offer into a third round.
Yeah. And again, the way they communicated it to you was what? How did they communicate? Was it on the phone? Was it an email? And what? And again, I know you told me once, mm-hmm. but they're saying that initially the job was posted at this amount of money, or and then now they've looked at your experience and they go, based on your experience, it's going to be less. Is that what they're basically saying? And how did they communicate that?
Yeah, so the first time we talked about it, it was via the first interview on Zoom. And then this recent time where they said that they were going to lower it was via email.
Yeah. And again, the reason they're citing is because you have less experience than they originally thought? I mean, I don't understand. That's the part that's weird. It's like, did they not know your experience right out of the gate?
No, they did. And that's the other part that I keep getting tripped up on, too, is they knew my experience before. So I don't understand why the range is technically lowered since that first. Yeah. It's kind of bizarre.
Well, I the reason I'm digging a little bit is because I'm looking for anything more that, you know, because it just feels weird. It's just horrible communication.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm weighing, what I'm thinking through is that this is the right ladder. At least it is one of the right ladders. If you get in here, it's the work you want to do and you feel like there's an opportunity to move up, correct?
Correct, yes.
But the way they handle that is really strange. I tell you what I would do, because if had they not done this weird thing, you would want to move forward at the offer that, or at the price, at the salary that they're saying the position pays.
Yes.
I'd play it out a little bit more. I'd get on the phone with them. I'd say, hey, can we hop on the phone? I don't like that it's communicated via email. If they really value you, somebody's going to go, yeah, we can hop on the phone and talk to it. And just go, hey, listen, it's not the salary change. It's not the number.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the way this is kind of, I want more explanation than just an email, and I'd love to know more about it. And I'd see how willing they are to talk about it. I got a hunch that they're not going to want to talk about it. And for me, that would be the nail in the coffin. I'd be like, this is not, this just isn't handled right. Even though it's a good company and it's got great opportunity, I don't know if I want to deal with this. Because, you know, if they're handling it like this on the front end before you ever get in the door, what's it going to be like when you're in the door? So I don't think it's going to all of a sudden get better.
Yeah.
I would just approach it like, can we get on the phone and talk through this? I've just got a few questions. Would like some more clarification on this. Let's see how they react to that. I think that's a very fair question to ask. And I think if they value you and they have any sense of decency or understanding of how to deal with people, for crying out loud, they'll do that. And if they won't, I would say move on. 844-747-2577. Let's go to Allie, who joins us in Los Angeles. Allie, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
You bet. What's up, Allie?
Hi. So I've been a freelancer for a little bit over a year and a half, and I've been lucky enough to have pretty good hours often. And this week, I just got a call from a place that I also freelance, and they're offering a full-time position. Now, whenever I have the talk, they're offering me way less than what I make as a freelancer. But obviously there's perks. I kind of, the perks that obviously would be is I would gain more skills and it will look good for my resume. The place is fun and it will be growth potential. The issue that I have is that at the end of the day, my long-term goal is eventually make a business. So with the freelance, I will make more money that I can start piling up.
Yeah, I go for, so I stay
I'm
freelance.
Like in that
I stay freelance.
Situation.
I don't.
Okay.
Okay. It's fun. It's going to look good on my resume. Maybe. Maybe not. Nobody cares. Because you get to put every client you work with on your resume. And you really, you're beyond resume. You're at portfolio stage. Am I right? What kind of work do you do? What kind of work do you do?
Sorry?
What kind of freelance work?
I do audio post-production, so in the freelance job that I would be doing is not, that I do, I don't get really credits or anything, but it's still really well paid.
It doesn't matter if you get credits, you can still put your work together in an audio reel. You could have a website that puts all your work out there and go, I did this audio project for this company. That's what I mean by portfolio. You should have a demo website with all your post-audio stuff.
Yeah.
So here's my point. Okay. If it was a short-term pay cut, if you can absorb the pay cut, meaning it's not going to put you in a tough situation financially, and if there is an opportunity to get promoted into more of the work and more responsibility, then I'd say, sure, go for it. But you didn't tell me that. Is that true?
Because I did tell them that I wanted to possibly get more money. But they said that because of the type of project that I would be working on, they don't have too much. They have a budget.
Right.
So
you eventually want to work for yourself, right?
Well, yeah. At the end of the day, I do want to. Well, I want to kind of switch careers. I want to pile some money and
Then do the thing that piles the most money.
Okay.
Because now you really have solidified my answer. Taking a job with this company isn't going to further your ultimate career. It's not at all. So I want you making more money so that you can switch careers. So stay freelance and just pile the money up. I love how you said it. Go, girl. I love that. Yeah, stay on your own, Allie. You got this. That is the way to go. Remember, folks, it's always about what gets me to the end goal. That's the direction I'm taking. All right, I got to run. Before I do, remember, you matter and you do have what it takes. Thank you so much for joining us. Until next time, this is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to the Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following @KenColeman.
Hey, folks, I want you to check out our other Ramsey Network podcasts like The Christy Wright Show.
Hey, y'all, I'm Christy Wright. You know, it's so easy to feel stuck. You live life just going through the motions, doing dishes, doing laundry, carpool lines, and a whole list of commitments that bring you no joy. We say yes to what everyone expects of us, and we have no energy or time for what we want. And let's be honest, most of the time, we don't even know what we want. Why do we live like that? God certainly never called us to. You know, I believe that the life God has for us is bigger and more amazing than any of us realize. That's why I want you to check out The Christy Wright Show. Every week, we will fire you up to break through what's holding you back and inspire you to create a life you love and are proud of. Each episode will help you build confidence in yourself and the God that created you.
Subscribe to The Christy Wright Show wherever you listen to podcasts.